dyan. It's good. kidding aside, first things first, look at the back of your bulletin. And I think it's about Project Noah. Let me just update you because I think we have a wrong figure there. The total in our Project Noah is around 480,000. Okay, so can we give God a round of applause for that? It's not 233, but 480,000 pesos. And also again, this is our last service here. So next week, October 7, where are you going? October 7. Parang mahina ah. Saan po tayo pupunta? On October 7, Seda Hotel. And what are the time of our services? 8 a.m. and then 10:30. And then we have a discipleship class at 9:30 a.m. Now, let me share to you my trip in South Africa because indeed it is such a wonderful blessing from the Lord because I was invited by Teach Every Nation headed by Mr. Bruce Wilkinson. And actually, they waived my registration fee. And that is a wonderful blessing because the registration fee is $500, US dollars. So they waived that for me. And also when it comes to my airfare, half, I think my airfare is around 1,000 US dollars. And half of it was sponsored by people who are involved in 10 Philippines, Teach Every Nation Philippines. And half of it was sponsored by some people here in GCF Nuvali. So I'm really thankful for the Lord for this wonderful privilege. So let me share to you where my four nights in South Africa. Actually, I was so blessed that I stayed in there, what they call tent. This is a game park, around 1,000 hectares, more than 1,000 hectares game park. That is the 10 campus, Teach Every Nation campus. And I am one of the few people that were blessed to stay in this tent. But this tent, inside the tent, it looked like it's a five-star hotel. Okay, the bed, it has a bed warmer, it has jacuzzi, and look at the bathroom, it has a bathtub, and of course, it has also a shower, so it has its own sala. So it's a five-star accommodation for me. And it was so beautiful because it's overlooking the lake. Once you step out of the tent, you will see that beautiful lake. You will see their hippos that I can only see in National Geographic or Discovery Channel live right in front of me, and some crocodiles in that lake. So it's really a wonderful experience for me. But Thursday night, so Sunday night up to Wednesday night, I stayed at their tent, their five-star accommodation. Now, Thursday night, that was my last night, I was asked, actually all of us who were staying there, we were asked to move to their normal hotel. It's like a three-star hotel because some people already rented that place for weekends. Okay, so, and they asked us, is it okay? Of course, it's okay. I'm just free here. Anyways, I'm just free, so it's okay for me. So at least I experienced both their five-star and their three-star room accommodation. So in the tent, I'm just all alone. But here, when they moved us, I will be accompanied by one pastor from Congo. Okay, a Congo pastor. And actually, it's a two single bed. So, hindi naman kami magkatabi. It's not a queen size bed, but two single bed. And then, here's the story. Friday morning, when I woke up, okay, I just sit down and then read a little and then look at my phone. Because I'm trying to check on messages from my family, from my friends here in the Philippines. And then as I was browsing all those messages, when I started to look around and then I turned around, I saw this Congo pastor. He was there kneeling down. And I am so ashamed at that point in time. Because the first thing that I did, instead of really praying to the Lord, I look at my phone while this pastor from Africa, he was there kneeling down and praying. So I'm really, really ashamed at that time because I saw how spiritual this pastor was. And then I went to the bathroom. I did my thing. I started to pack up my things because it was my last day. That was our last day. And after getting out of the bathroom, still, he was there one realization that my reflection there is that yes, we might have these privileges, especially in the Philippines. I myself, had the privilege to have a good education. I have my bachelor's degree. I have my masteral degree in Christian studies. Now I am pursuing Masters of Divinity. But this pastor, a Congo pastor from Africa, they don't have these wonderful privileges to study. And yet, he is much more spiritual than me. I have all this knowledge, but I acknowledge that he is much more spiritual than me. I know that they don't have that much education because of our sharing time. So that's why I knew that. And he didn't know that actually by doing that, he rebuked me. And at the same time, he edified me. He rebuked me because I should transform all my knowledge, all our knowledge, we should transform it to become more and more and more intimate with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one way for us to be more and more intimate is through prayer. So church, let me ask you, how is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? I want us to reflect on that, meditate on that. How is your prayer life? Because my challenge for you this morning is this: pray a daring prayer. We must learn how to pray this prayer. And this example, we can see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And let me ask all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And let me call on my son, because actually this is a gift from the Laguna Christian Businessman Club. And that is actually our verse. He is so shy, that's why nakatakip po yung kanyang mukha dito. Let us, can we read this together? 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. The word of God says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. Can we read this line all together, church? 1, 2, 3, go. And God granted what he asked. Can we read it once more, church? And God granted what he asked. May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Indeed, Lord, I pray that your word will bring encouragement to us. This prayer, Lord, help us to really pray this daring prayer, Lord God, in our life. And may we, as we unpack, Lord God, the truth about this prayer, help us to really learn this and at the same time apply this, Lord God, in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. Now, our passage is taken from the book of Chronicles. Actually, in the Hebrew Bible, 1 and 2 Chronicles is just one book, Chronicles. And if you will take note, in our English Bible, in the table of contents, it is actually included in what we call the historical books, the 12 historical books, or the first 17 books. You will see that Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles is included in that section. But in the Hebrew Bible, Chronicles is located at the last part. In the English Bible, it's Malachi. But in the Hebrew Bible, it is Chronicles. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, he is the one who put that canon. We call it canon, the inspired Word of God, the Old Testament. Because Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 11, it says, from the blood of Abel, and you will see the story of Abel from the book of Genesis, from the blood of Abel up to the blood of Zechariah. And you will see that the name Zechariah in 2 Chronicles. So that is why we know that the Old Testament, it is inspired. In our English Bible, it's from Genesis to Malachi. And in the Hebrew Bible, because the prophetic books are in the middle part in the Hebrew Bible, so it's Genesis to Chronicles. That's why we know that the Old Testament is inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ himself defined the canon of the Old Testament. Now, you will also notice that 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, it has the same story of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. If you will read that, two books, okay, or in our English Bible, four books. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles. Now, let me tell you this, somehow a trivia. 1 Kings and 2 Kings, this was written for what we call the pre-exilic. That is the time before Babylon invaded Judah. That's what we call pre-exilic. Now, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, this was written for the post-exilic. These are the people who, remember, when Babylon invaded Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, they selected a few people and we call it exile to Babylon. And after 70 years, they returned to their own land. So this is 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. So actually, technically, this is for the children's children. Because after 70 years, okay? So that is why they need to repeat again the story. But 1 Kings and 2 Kings, it's more of a political perspective, while 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, priestly perspective, or from the divine's perspective. That is the difference between the two, although they carry the same message or the same story. Now, in our passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, these are what we call the genealogy. The sons of Judah. I know that this section, many of you will skip this. Okay? Why? Because the truth is no one likes to read names. And even some names that you cannot even pronounce. Right? So usually, okay, names, I'll just skip this. But I want you to see the importance, especially in the original audience, okay, the importance of this genealogy, especially Judah. Because here we can trace the lineage of our Messiah. That is the importance of genealogy in every time you will see a genealogy, because it traces back our Messiah, the lineage of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because from Judah, there came David, and from David, we all know Jesus is also called Son of David. That is why we know that he is a king and he lives forever. That's why he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has the right to rule, not only in Israel, but also to us, the whole world, because he is King. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now in chapter 4, the chronicler, the descendants of Judah, I want you to notice that when it's about time for him to mention Jabez, the other names, they just mentioned their names, son of. But when it comes to Jabez, he put something about Jabez. First, in verse 9, he said, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The word honorable, it means wealth, significant, and even positive reputation. So meaning, from its meaning, we can say that Jabez, at that time, he was wealthy, and he has this positive reputation among his brothers. Among his brothers and among his clans, his tribe, the tribe of Judah. Now, it was also mentioned there that his mother called him Jabez because he was been born in pain. Actually, they called it in pain because in transliteration of Hebrew, I cannot just show you the Hebrew text here, but Jabez, the last three letters, okay, we call it in English, three letters, it's B-E-S, while the word pain in Hebrew, it's S-E-B. That's why there's just a play of words there. Jabez and pain. So some scholars, they say, of course, all women, when they gave birth, when it's time for them to give birth, definitely they will experience pain. That is why it says there, because his mother bore him in pain. But other scholars believe that Jabez has some disability. That's why her mother said, he was born in pain. But that is not what we are going to talk about this morning. But what is important is that after he gave some inputs about Jabez, the chronicler also put there the prayer of Jabez. He did not simply say Jabez, the son of That's it. But he also put there the prayer of Jabez, because for the post-exilic people, it is very important. Remember, they just came from the exile. So their land was devastated. So what the chronicler is trying to say to them is very, very important for us to pray. We need to depend on God. Because as we can see, our land is devastated. We will start from scratch again. So we must depend on the Lord. That's why 1 Chronicles, you will see a lot of prayer in the book of Chronicles. So that's why, that's the reason why the chronicler actually reported the prayer of Jabez. So again, what can we learn from this? A daring prayer. We must pray this daring prayer. Bruce Wilkinson, I had the privilege to meet him personally in South Africa. Bruce Wilkinson, in his book, Prayer of Jabez, he said, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. Wow. A daring prayer that God always answers. It is brief, only one sentence with four parts and tucked away in the Bible. But I believe it contains the key. Okay? The key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. Do you want the favor of God? Yung iba, ayaw nyo. Do you want the favor of God?
Yes.
Here's the key. Okay? So we must pray this daring prayer. Now look at the encouragement in chapter 4, verse 10. The last sentence. And God granted what he asked. In other words, God answered the prayer of Jabez. This is very important, especially for the original audience, because they know that God hears. When they pray, God hears their prayer. So this is also an encouragement for us that every time we pray, we know that God hears our prayer. That is why Faith Life Study Bible says, Jabez's prayer for a larger border serves as a reminder to the post-exilic community that God answers, this is also for us, that God answers prayers and is able to bring blessing instead of pain. Again, let me encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, that God answers our prayers and he is able to bring blessing instead of pain. From the Word Biblical Commentary, it says, God's grace is always available to those who turn to him in prayer. So let this be an encouragement to you, my friend, especially if you are going through challenges, storms, tough situations in life right now. Turn to him in prayer, because God hears our prayer. Turn to him in prayer. And let me also share to you what I read from Matthew Henry regarding Jabez being a prayerful man, because we too must become a prayerful man and woman of God. It says here, his, Jabez, inclination to devotion made him truly honorable. And by prayer, he obtained those blessings from God which added much to his honor. And the way to be truly great, listen to this, church, the way to be truly great is to be truly good and to pray much. So how is your prayer life? How is your devotion to God? Prayer is a very, very important thing for us as a believer. I am not only preaching this to you, but I am also preaching this to myself right now. I need to remind myself that prayer, it is so vital. It is so vital in our Christian life for our fellowship with the Lord, for our intimacy with God. Now, let me just tell you this before we move on to our sermon. Okay, here's the caveat, if you may. Okay, yes, God hears our prayer. Okay, but let me just tell this, because you might quote me with this. Pastor Erwin says, if we pray everything that we pray, God hears our prayer. So let me quote this right on the very onset. Okay, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have toward him, toward God, toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything, right? Not just something, but anything. But look at the qualifier. anything according to His will, then He hears us. So definitely, God will answer us positively if we pray according to His will. Right? According to His will. Then definitely, He hears us. And the context of the prayer of Jabez, definitely it is the will of God. That's why God granted his request. And later on, you will see that indeed, how come it is the will of God when Jabez said, "Oh, that you bless me." Isn't that so selfish when he asked that prayer? "Bless me, Lord." Okay, and you will see the background of that prayer. Now, let's look at the prayer of Jabez. First, this is a daring prayer that challenges you to become a channel of His blessing. Again, as a channel of His blessing. Look at that first line. "Oh, that you bless me indeed. That you greatly bless me. That you thoroughly bless me." That is how emphatic that word "bless" there. That you really, really bless me. And if we are not just careful, we think that Jabez was simply asking for material things here. Okay? Now, I want us to first understand that Jabez, he was a contemporary of Joshua and Caleb. And you can read the story of Joshua in the book of Joshua. And what happened there? They were about to conquer the promised land. Remember, God promised the promised land to them, but they need to conquer the land. They don't have the land yet. So actually, what he is praying is about the land. "Lord, would you bless me? It is not only for me, but it is for my tribe." Remember, tribe of Judah. So this prayer is not only for himself. When he's asking, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me." It is not only for himself, but it is for his tribe. Because again, the background, he was a contemporary of Joshua and Caleb. Now, the word, actually, it's an expression here in English, "oh." Okay? But in Hebrew, actually, you can translate that with the word "if." The English word "if." Okay? To show you this, look at the Holman Christian Standard Bible, how they translated this verse from the Hebrew. It says there, "If only you would bless me." Did you see that? "If only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will not cause any pain." From the New English Translation, or the NET, it says there, "If only you would greatly bless me." And of course, in the Christian Standard Bible, it's almost the same as the HCSB. "If only you would bless me, you would extend my border." So from expression, it becomes, what do you call that? The word "if," it's a conditional clause. Okay? "If, Lord, if only you would bless me." Even though Jabez did not already put what he will do, if God will bless him. Okay? Why? Because let me show you what Matthew Henry said about this verse. It was a solemn vow. The prayer of Jabez, actually, it is a solemn vow. "If you will bless me," and then the sense is imperfect, but may easily be filled up from Jacob's vow. Jacob's vow said in Genesis, it says, "The Lord, if you will bless me, you will be my God." That is what Jacob said. So somehow, they say it's much like that. "Then you shall be my God." And he did not express his promise, but left it to be understood. Either because he was afraid, Jabez was afraid to promise in his own strength, or because he resolved to devote himself entirely to God. And I love that. Because Jabez resolved to devote himself entirely to God. He does, as it were, give God the blank paper. "Lord, if you will bless me, then I will just follow you all the days of my life. If you will just give us this land, then I will be your servant. I will follow you all the days of my life. Lord, if thou wilt bless me and keep me, do what thou wilt with me. I will be at thy command and disposal forever." So the prayer of Jabez, actually, this is much more of a vow. This is not just a simple supplication, asking God to bless him, but this is much more of a vow that, "Lord, if you will bless me, Even though he did not elaborate much of what he will do, but I do believe that Jabez served God. That's why the chronicler put there, when he is about to mention the name Jabez, he remembered the prayer of Jabez. Now, the word bless here, Lord, that you would bless me. Okay? The word bless here, it means favor from the Lord. It's more than material things, but what he is asking is the favor of God. Because once we have the favor of God, then everything that we do, definitely he will bless the work of our hands. Once we have the favor of God. And that is what Jabez is asking here. Lord, I want your favor. If you would greatly bless me, if your favor will be with me. And let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the very character of God. He wants to bless us. He wants his favor to be upon us. That is why Dr. Bruce Wilkinson said in his book, Prayer of Jabez, he said, your Father, your Heavenly Father, is delighted to respond abundantly, generously, when his blessing is what you covet most. When you are asking for his favor. Because that is the very nature of God, to bless. That is his nature. He wants to bless his children. And there are so many passages in the Bible that we as his children, we are being encouraged to ask. In Matthew, it says, ask and it shall be given to you. In the book of James, you do not have because you do not ask. But again, church, even before you quote me with this, if we ask, definitely God hears our prayer. If we ask according to his will, just like Jabez, he asks according to God's will. Now, what can we learn from this? When we pray this daring prayer, when we ask the Lord, Lord, would you bless me? Would you thoroughly bless me? Okay? We must understand that every time we ask God's favor, we must be ready to become a channel of his blessing. God knows our heart. So if our heart is right before the Lord and we ask for his blessing, he will pour down his blessing upon us, knowing that we will become a channel of his blessing. How did I know this? Because throughout the Bible, okay, let me show you the purpose of blessing from the time of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and I, Yahweh, will make of you a great nation. You hear, he is talking to Abraham. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that, that's the purpose of his blessing, so that you will be a blessing. And indeed, Abraham became a blessing to the whole world. Because again, through our Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament, let me show you a passage. In 2 Corinthians, it says there, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that, again, that's the purpose statement. Not only a purpose statement, but reason, because it says there, so that because, look at how emphatic that is in English, so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow. You will overflow with what? In every good work. So every time we pray, and I'm really challenging you to pray this daring prayer, Lord, would you bless me? May your favor be upon me. But our heart, remember, our heart should be ready that we must become a channel of his blessing. And God cannot be mocked here because he knows our heart. Okay? It's not just a lip service. Lord, I want to become a channel of your blessing, but our heart, yeah? Remember, God knows our heart. So if our heart is right, we really want to become a channel of his blessing, then pray this daring prayer. In my own little way, how did I apply this truth just this week? When I was in South Africa, again, we stayed in a game park. I'm so blessed with this more than 1,000 hectares, okay, of game farm. So many animals there. I was I am so blessed to see all these animals that I can only see in TV, television, and I can see it live. Okay? You know wildebeest? Nakikita niyo ba yun? Di ba sa Discovery lang yun? Nakikita. There, it's live. Wildebeest, buffalo, hippos, hippopotamus. Sa Manila, suko lang nakita yan. Payat pa. Di ba? Siya dito, laki. Nyala. That's like a deer. It's just there, roaming around. And I told them, you know what? We also have animals like that roaming around. Dogs and cats. You will see also that kind of animals here in the Philippines. And you're in the Philippines. So I'm so blessed with this. And also, I'm so blessed because I became one of the participants in Bible School on Wheels year two. Okay, but speaking of Bible School, School on Wheels, I want you to register outside, okay, after this, because we'll have a new registration because of what happened to us here in Solinal 3. So I want all of you to become involved in our discipleship class. Okay, and we are in partnership with Teach Every Nation, and their product is Bible School on Wheels. And we have this first course Bible survey, and we will run it on October 21. Okay, mark the date, October 21. That's the third Sunday of October, 9:30 a.m. up to 10:30 a.m. And I want all of you to please register so we can know the materials that we will print for this Bible survey. Okay, so church, again, I hope that you will register after this service. Now, going back to being blessed, since I know that I got the favor of God to be there in South Africa, it is not only for me to keep. That blessing is not only for me. So, and from the tent up to to our conference hall, it's a long walk. So just try to imagine more than 1,000 hectares. So it's really a long walk. But there's this person there. But every time that saw me, he was just driving like a golf cart. He was driving that. Hey, friend, come over here. Let me just bring you to the social hall, to our conference hall. And the same is true. After the conference, I will bring you back to your tent. So at that time, I was praying, Lord, how can I bless? How can I really bless this man? And I don't have rand because I wasn't able to change my dollars to their money, rand. And I only have Philippine peso. And then I just told him, you know what? What I have is a Philippine peso, but I want to bless you, and I'll just give it to you. Then it's up to you how you will exchange that. And then he said, you know what? Actually, my children are asking me because they want to see a different money from different country. So I don't care if it's a Philippine peso. It's good because now I can let them show other money. Because remember, they're from Africa, so they want to see different kinds of money or other kind of money. So at that point in time, Lord, thank you, because yes, you have your favor upon me, and with in my own little way, he was so blessed with that little amount that I gave him, a Philippine peso. But he was blessed. So that's just an example of how the Lord, when every time that the Lord is blessing us, we must think that how we can become a blessing to others. We must become a channel of His blessing. So pray this daring prayer. Pray that you become a channel of His blessing. Second, pray this daring prayer because it will challenge you to conquer your obstacles in life. Look at what he said. Lord, enlarge my borders. Enlarge my border. Again, the context, the background, you need to take it into consideration. They were about to enter the promised land. And this is not only for him. Sitting down, Jabez there, sitting down, Lord, I ask for real properties. Give me all this land. It's not that kind of prayer. He knows that they need to conquer their enemies. You can read the book of Joshua. So you can somehow picture what happened there as they are conquering the promised land. So here, actually, what Jabez is asking him, Lord, as you are giving this land, may your protection be upon us. Help us to conquer this land. Because without your help, definitely we cannot conquer this land. And this is very, very crucial for them. Remember, again, this is not only for one family or two families. He is asking for the whole clan, for the whole tribe of Judah. So what can we learn from this? We must ask the Lord to help us to conquer all our obstacles that will definitely come our way. It's just a matter of when. In business, definitely God wants you to do more business, to expand your opportunities, your borders. When you are employed, God wants you to be the best employee. When you are studying right now, He wants you definitely to excel, to expand your opportunities. But one thing is for sure, there will be obstacles. There will be obstacles. So God wants you to conquer all these obstacles as He is enlarging your opportunities in life, as He is enlarging your borders. Dr. Bruce said, He wants you to accept it as a significant opportunity to touch individual lives. That's the reason why the Lord will expand your border, your territories, your influence. Because it is an opportunity to touch individual lives, the business community, the larger world for His glory. Asking Him to enlarge that opportunity brings Him only delight. Let me share this to you again, a personal story regarding our building project. The truth is, to be honest with you, church, if it is just me, I am afraid with this project because it is my first time to lead a, 40 to 50 million project. And I am asking the Lord, Lord, who am I for these people to trust me to really give funds for this building? 40 million to 50 million. And I am afraid with this. Lord, I cannot do this. This is a God-sized project. But the answer, as I am studying the prayer of Jabez, here's the answer. Expand your border. But there will be challenges along the way. You need to conquer. Individually, we have challenges. We need to conquer all the obstacles in our life. But as a church, okay, the first obstacle towards God's promise, our own building, the first obstacle is our transfer to Seda. We are already comfortable here, but all of a sudden something happened and we need to transfer. That's the first step. That's the first obstacle that we must conquer. Okay? In order for us to expand our borders, definitely once our building is there, the Lord will double us. The Lord will really expand our influence in our community because once we are there, right in front of AUP, just try to imagine AUP. It has so many students. And not only that, it's not only for Nuvali, but now also Silang. The Lord is expanding our territory, but there will be obstacles along the way. So the question now is, are you with me in overcoming these obstacles? The first one, our transfer to Seda. Wala nang sasama. Ako lang pala nando sa Seda. Di ba? I do hope that all of you, okay, you will come with me in this journey. That you will be with me, you will be with the leaders once we transfer to Seda by next week. Right? 8 a.m. And I do hope that some of you will consider 8 a.m. Okay? I know, it's too early because as I am talking to some of you, almost all of you answers, Lord, yes, Pastor, we will be there, 10:30. And their function room, they cannot accommodate all of us. The 200 of us, they cannot accommodate us if all of you will come there at 10:30. And definitely, they cannot, it's not enough for us. But it's a good problem, of course, for the leaders. But so I'm just praying for those of you, especially Sunday, remember, it's a family time, so it's good. If you will worship early in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9:30, then you are already free. You can go to your families. If you have go to the mall and everything, okay na yun, di ba? Aga pa lang, tapos na agad. So for those of you who can rise up early, then please do attend the 8 a.m. That's the first obstacle that we must conquer. Okay? As a church, in order for us, as the Lord is expanding our borders, that's the first obstacle, the 8 a.m., and then also 10:30 a.m. So church, I know that you will be with me with this, that we will conquer all these obstacles. And the same is true in our individual lives, that as the Lord is expanding our influence, we must conquer all the obstacles that will come our way. So pray this daring prayer. First, to become a channel of His blessing. The purpose of this prayer is to become a channel of His blessing. Second, to conquer all the obstacles that will come our way. Third is to connect with God. Look at what Jabez said, that your hand might be with me. Now, what does this mean? His hand, okay? In this prayer, it represents God's presence. But throughout the Chronicles, I just like you to see the hand of God. It also pertains to God's power because it says there, both riches and honor come from you and you rule over all. In your hand, in God's hand, are power and might. And in your hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. So it represents God's power. And also, it represents God's provision. It says, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. So it represents provision. It also means God's mercy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 13, it says, Then David said to God, I am in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercy is very great. God's hand also represents discipline. David said to God, Was it not I who gave command to number the people? It is I who have sinned and done great evil. But this sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand, O Lord, my God, be against me and against my father's house. It represents God's discipline. Now, in the context of Jabez's prayer, I do believe that it represents God's presence, power, and provision. Now, what does it mean for us today? When we are praying this daring prayer, it will connect us more to the Lord. What we are asking actually is just like the prayer of Moses, Lord, show me your glory. And every time we say, Lord, that your hand may be upon me, it is like saying, Lord, I want to be intimate with you because I need you in my life. So, like what I told you, I am so ashamed of myself because of my roommate. He was there kneeling down, praying, connecting with God, while there I am browsing Facebook. Ang layo eh, di ba? So my prayer is that through this prayer, this daring prayer, this will help us somehow to reflect on how is our prayer life. Are we really connecting with God? Are we that intimate with God that your hand might be with me? And the last challenge here in this daring prayer is to combat evil. Look at what he said. That you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. Of course, in this context, in Jabez's context, he's asking for protection from the Lord because they are about to conquer the promised land. So what is just interesting here is in verse 9, his mother said he was born in pain, but here is Jabez asking God to keep him from harm so that it might not bring him pain. That is why the NIV application commentary said, given the ancient belief that one's name represented an individual character, and in some cases, personal destiny, Jabez prayed that God would overturn any curse associated with his name into blessing. And with regards to this prayer, in the same manner, Jesus told us to pray like this. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So this daring prayer is about combating evil. Church, let me tell you this. There are times that Satan himself will come and attack us. And it's not just a question of if, but when he will attack. That is why we need to pray this daring prayer. We need to ask that the Lord will protect us in order for us to combat evil, to prepare us to combat evil, to combat Satan. We must be aware that what God wants for us is good. And definitely, God wants us to fulfill His plan. But Satan, he does not want us to fulfill God's plan in our lives. So he will attack us. So this daring prayer is a preparation to combat evil. So again, church, my challenge for you is to pray this daring prayer. In conclusion, let me just say this in the NIV application commentary. The chronicler seeks to remind his audience and also us in today, in the 21st century, that God's responsiveness to prayer in the past is an invitation to offer prayers addressing present needs and concerns. Again, let me repeat that. That God's responsiveness to prayer in the past is an invitation to offer prayers addressing present needs and concern. When God responded to Jabez's daring prayer, rest assured that He will also respond when we pray this daring prayer. Therefore, again, pray a daring prayer. What are these daring prayers? What are the purpose? First is for us to become a channel of His blessing. Second is to conquer all the obstacles that will come our way. Third is to connect to God. And then lastly, to combat evil. Pray a daring prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the encouragement of Your word. I just pray, Lord God, that it is not just for our knowledge. Now that we know the background of this prayer, now that we know the lesson, Lord God, of this prayer, this daring prayer, I pray, Lord God, that all of us as a church, that we will pray this daring prayer and we will apply this in our daily lives. Lord, help us to pray this daily. Help us, Lord God, to become a channel of Your blessing. So I am praying, Lord God, for all of us here in GCF New Valley, that You would greatly bless us, Lord. Bless us individually. Bless this church, Lord God, so that we can become a blessing to others. And Lord, expand our borders, expand our territories, our influence in life. And Lord, as You are expanding our borders, help us to conquer all the obstacles that will come our way. And Father, with all of these things, Lord, we pray for Your presence in our lives. Just like, Lord God, the prayer of Moses, Lord, would You show us Your glory, Lord, that every time we pray, we will connect with You. There will be intimacy with You. And also, Lord, as we pray, help us to realize that this is a preparation for us to combat evil that will come our way. So, Father, I pray that indeed, Lord, we will apply this every day. We will pray this daring prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me call on our ushers for our giving. Once again, let's pray. Lord, we thank You once again for Your provision. Indeed, Lord God, we want to become a blessing, Lord God, to even, Lord, to other churches and even to our community. So, Lord, I pray that may You continue to use each one of us to become a blessing to this local church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.